through water and came up against the interface bioplate. Vague pain. Blood welled from the invisible cut in a thin line, then blotched across the whole palm. I heard Wardani's breath draw short, and then she yelped as her inhibitor bit. "Not here," my nerves told the inhib unit on my own neck. "Nothing happening here." Suchiati screamed. I unknotted the filament and drew it clear, then flexed my damaged palm. The lips of the wound across the palm split and gaped. I stuffed my thumb into the split and... "Nothing is happening here. Nothing at all." Twisted until the flesh tore. It hurt. Endorphin or no fucking endorphin, but I had what I wanted. Below the mangled mass of meat and fatty tissue, the interface plate showed a clear white surface, beaded with blood and finally scarred with biotech circuitry. I worked the lips of the wound farther apart until there was a clear patch of plate exposed. Then I reached back with no more conscious intent than you'd get from a back-cracking yawn and jammed the gashed hand onto the inhibitor and closed my fist. For just a moment, I thought my luck had run out. Luck that had seen me through removing the monofilament without major vascular damage, that had let me get to the interface plate without severing any useful tendons. Luck that had no one watching Lamont's screens. Luck like that had to run dry at some point, and as the inhib unit shifted under my blood's slippery grip, I felt the whole teetering structure of envoy control start to come down. Fuck! The interface plate. User locked. Hostile to any uncoded circuitry in direct contact. Bucked in my ripped palm, and something shorted out behind my head. The inhibitor died with a short electronic squeal. I grunted, then let the pain come up through gritted teeth as I reached back with my damaged arm and began to unflex the thing's grip on my neck. Reaction was setting in now, a muted trembling racing up my limbs and a spreading numbness in my wounds. "Vongsavath," I said as I worked the inhibitor loose, "I want you to go out there. Find Tony LaMonaco."
"Who?"
"The non-com who came to collect us last night." There was no longer any need to suppress emotion, but I found that Envoy's systems were doing it anyway. Even while Suchiati's colossal agony scraped and raked along my nerve endings, I seemed to have discovered an inhuman depth of patience to balance against it. "His name is LaMonaco. You'll probably find him down by the execution slab. Tell him I need to talk to him. No, wait. Better just tell him I said I need him." Those words exactly. No reasons, just that. "I need him, right now. That should bring him." Vongsavath looked to the closed flap of the bubble fab. It barely muffled Suchiati's uncontrolled shrieking.
"Out there," she said.
"Yes, I'm sorry." I finally got the inhib unit off. "I'd go myself, but it'd be harder to sell that way. And you're still wearing one of these." I examined the carapace of the inhibitor. There was no outward sign of the damage the interface plate's counter-intrusion systems had done, but the unit was inert. Tentacles spasmed stiff and clawed. The pilot officer got up unsteadily.
"All right, I'm going."
"And Vongsavath?"
"Yeah?"
"Take it easy out there." I held up the murdered inhibitor. "Try not to get excited about anything." It appeared I was smiling again. Vongsavath stared at me for a moment, then fled. Suchiati's screams blistered through in her wake for a moment, and then the flap fell back again. I turned my attention to the drugs in front of me. LaMonaco came at speed. He ducked through the flap ahead of Vongsavath, another momentary lift in Suchiati's agony, and strode down the center aisle of the bubble fab to where I lay curled up on the end bed, shivering.
"Sorry about the noise," he said, leaning over me.
One hand touched my shoulder gently.
"Lieutenant, are you—"
I struck upward, into the exposed throat. 5 rapid-dump dermals of tetrameth from the strip my right hand had stolen the previous night lay directly across major blood vessels. If I'd been wearing an unconditioned sleeve, I'd be cramped up and dying now. If I'd had less conditioning on my own, I'd be cramped up and dying now. I hadn't dared dose myself with less. The blow ripped open LaMonaco's windpipe and tore it across. Blood gushed, warm over the back of my hand. He staggered backward, face working, eyes childlike with disbelieving hurt. I came off the bed after him.
Something in the wolf's place weeps in me at the betrayal.
And finished it. He toppled and lay still.
I stood over the corpse, thrumming inside with a pulse of the tetrameth. My feet shifted unsteadily under me. Muscle tremors skipped down one side of my face. Outside, Suchiati's screams modulated upward into something new and worse.
"Get the mobility suit off him," I said harshly.
No response. I glanced around, and I realized I was talking to myself. Dupre and Wardani were both slumped against their beds, stunned. Vongsavath was struggling to rise, but could not coordinate her limbs. Too much excitement. The inhibitors had tasted it in their blood and bitten accordingly.
Fuck.
I moved between them, clenching my mutilated hand around the spider units and tearing them loose as they spasmed. Against the shift and slide of the tetrameth, it was almost impossible to be more gentle. Dupre and Wardani both grunted with shock as their inhibitors died. Vongsavath's went harder, sparking sharply and scorching my open palm. The pilot vomited bile and thrashed. I knelt beside her and got fingers into her throat, pinning her tongue until the spasm passed.
Suchiati shrieked across it. "Kay?"
She nodded weakly.
"Then help me get this mob suit off. We don't have a lot of time till he's missed."
LaMonica was armed with an interface pistol of his own, a standard blaster, and the vibro-knife he'd loaned to Carrera the night before. I cut his clothes off and went to work on the mob suit beneath. It was combat spec. It powered down and peeled at battlefield speed. 15 seconds and Vongsavath's shaky assistance were enough to shut off the dorsal and limb drives and unzip the frame. LaMonica's corpse lay throat open, limbs spread, outlined in an array of upward-jutting flex-alloy fiber spines that reminded me fleetingly of bottleback corpses, butchered and half-filleted for barbecue meat on Harada Beach.
"Help me roll him out of..."
Behind me, someone retched. I glanced back and saw Dupre propping himself upright. He blinked a couple of times and managed to focus on me.
"Kovach, did you?"
His gaze fell on LaMonica.
"That's good. Now, do you want to share your plans for a change?"
I gave LaMonica's corpse a final shove and rolled it clear of the unwrapped mob suit. "Plan simple, Luke. I'm going to kill Suchiati and everyone else out there. While that's going on, I need you to get inside the Chandra and check for crew or conscientious objectors to the entertainment. Probably be a few of each. Here, take this." I kicked the blaster across to him.
"Think he'll need anything else?"
He shook his head muzzily.
"You spare the knife? And drugs. What are those, fucking tetrameth?"
"My bed, under the quilt."
I lay on the suit without bothering to undress, and began to pull the support struts closed across my chest and stomach. Not ideal, but I didn't have the time.
"Ought to be okay. LaMonica was bigger framed than my sleeve, and the servo amp uptake pads are supposed to work through clothing at a push.
We'll go together. I figure it's worth the risk of a run to the polyalloy shed before we start."
"I'm coming,"
Vongsavath said grimly.
"No, you're fucking not."
I closed the last of the body struts and started on the arms. "I need you in one piece. You're the only person who can fly the battle wagon. Don't argue. It's the only way any of us get out of here. Your job is to stay here and stay alive. Get the legs." Suchiati's screams had damped down to semi-conscious moans. I felt a scribble of alarm run up my spine. If the machine saw fit to back off and leave its victim to recover for any length of time, those in the back rows of the audience might start to drift away for an interval cigarette. I hit the drives while Vongsavath was still fastening the last of the ankle joint struts and felt more than heard the servos murmur to life. I flexed my arms, jag of unwatched pain in the broken elbow, twinges in the ruined hand, and felt the power. Hospital mob suits are designed and programmed to approximate normal human strength and motion while cushioning areas of trauma and ensuring that no part of the body is strained beyond its convalescent limits. In most cases, the parameters are hardwired in to stop stupid little fucks from overriding what's good for them. Military custom doesn't work like that. I tensed my body, and the suit got me to my feet. I thought a kick to groin height,
and the suit lashed out with speed and strength to dent steel. A left-handed back fist long strike. The suit put it there like Nurikem. I crouched and flexed, and knew the servos would put me 5 meters into the air on demand. I reached out with machine precision and picked up LaMonaco's interface gun left-handed. Digits scrambled along the display as it recognized the wedge codes in my undamaged palm. Red gleam of the load light, and I knew through the prickling in my palm what the magazine carried. The vacuum commando standby, jacketed slugs, short-fused plasma core, demolition load. Outside, the machine somehow licked Tsuchiyari back up into screaming. Hoarse now, his voice was shredding. A deeper groundswell rose behind the shrieks. Audience cheers. "Get the knife," I told Dupre. Chapter 40. Outside, it was a beautiful day. The sun was warm on my skin and glinting off the hull of the battle wagon. There was a slight breeze coming in off the sea, scuffing whitecaps. Tsuchiyari screamed his agony at a careless blue sky. Glancing down to the shoreline, I saw they'd erected metal-framed banks of seats around the anatomizer. Only the top of the machine showed above the heads of the spectators. Nurikem reeled in a tighter view, a sense of heads and shoulders tensed in fascination at what was happening on the slab, and then suddenly a glimpse of something flapping, membrane thin and blood-streaked, torn loose from Tsuchiyari's body by pinchers and caught by the breeze. A fresh shriek floated up in its wake. I turned away. You patched and evacuated Jimmy DeSoto while he screamed and tried to claw out his own eyes. You can do this. Functionality. Paul Alloy Shed, I muttered to Dupre, and we moved down the beach to the far end of the Anjin Chandra's Virtue, as rapidly as seemed safe without tripping some wedge veteran's combat-amped peripheral vision. There's an art to it they teach you in covert ops. Breathe shallow, move smoothly. Minimize anything that might trigger the enemy's proximity senses. Half a minute of itching exposure was all it took, and then we were shielded from the seat banks by the swell of the Chandra's hull. On the far side of the shed, we came across a young wedge uniform, braced on the structure and vomiting his guts up in the sand. He looked up out of a sweat-beaded face as we rounded the corner, features twisted in misery. Dupre killed him with a knife. I kicked open the door with mob suit strength and swung inside, eyes flexed out to total scan in the sudden gloom. Lockers stood tidily against one wall. A corner table held an assortment of helmet frames. Wall racks offered boot bases and breathing apparatus. The hatch to the showers was open. A wedge noncom looked around from a data coil at another desk, face haggard and angry.
"I've already fucking told Artola I'm not—"
She spotted the mob suit and peered, getting up.
"LaMonaco, what are you—"
The knife skipped through the air like a dark bird off my shoulder. It buried itself in the noncom's neck, just above the collarbone, and she jerked in shock, came a wavering step toward me, still peering, and then collapsed. Dupre stepped past me, knelt to check his handiwork, and then withdrew the knife. There was a clean economy of motion in his movements that belied the state of his radiation-blasted cells. He stood up and caught me looking at him.
"Something?"
I nodded at the corpse he'd just made. "Not bad for a dying man, Luke." He shrugged.
"Tetrameth, Mayari sleeve. I have been worse equipped."
I dumped the interface gun on the table, picked up a pair of helmet frames, and tossed one to him. "You done this before?"
"Now. I'm not a spaceman."
"Okay. Put this on. Hold the struts. Don't smudge the faceplate." I gathered boot bases and breathing sets at tetrameth speed. "The air intake fits through here like this. The pack straps over your chest."
"We don't need—"
"I know, but it's quicker this way. And it means you can keep the faceplate down. Might save your life. Now, stamp down on the boot bases. They'll stick in place. I've got to power this thing up." The shower systems were set into the wall next to the hatch. I got one unit running, then nodded at Dupre to follow me and went through into the shower section. The hatch cycled closed behind us, and I caught the thick solvent odor of the pol alloy pouring in the confined space. The operational unit's lamps flashed orange in the low-light surroundings, glinting off the dozens of twisting threads of polyalloy where they ran down from the showerheads and spread like oil on the angled floor of the cubicle. I stepped in. It's an eerie feeling the first time you do it, like being buried alive in mud. The polyalloy lands on you in a thin coating that quickly builds to a sliding sludge. It masses on the dome of cross-netting at the top of the helmet frame, then topples and pours down around your head, stinging your throat and nostrils, even through your locked breathing. Molecular repulsion keeps it off the surface of the faceplate, but the rest of the helmet is sheathed in 20 seconds. The rest of your body, right down to the boot bases, takes about half as long again. You try to keep it away from open wounds or raw flesh. It stings before it dries.
Fuck!
It's airtight, watertight, utterly sealed, and it'll stop a high-velocity slug like battle wagon armor. At a distance, it even reflects sunjet fire. I stepped down and felt through the polyalloy for the breathing set controls. Thumbed the vent control. Air hissed under my jaw, filling the suit and popping it loose around my body. I killed the air and chinned the faceplate control. The plate hinged silently up. Now you, don't forget to hold your breath. Somewhere outside, Suciati was still screaming. The tetrameth scratched at me. I almost yanked a prey out of the shower, punched the air supply, and watched as the suit popped. Okay, that's it. I dialed down to intake standard. Keep the plate down. Anyone challenges you, give them this signal. No, thumb, crooked like this. It means the suit's malfunctioning. Might buy you the time you need to get close. Give me 3 minutes, then go. And stay away from the stern. The helmeted head nodded ponderously. I could not see his face through the darkened faceplate. I hesitated a moment, then clapped him on the shoulder. Try to stay alive, Luke. I chinned the faceplate closed again. Then I gave the tetrameth its head, collected the interface gun left-handed on my way through the locker room, and let the momentum carry me back outside into the screaming. It took me one of my 3 minutes to circle wide around the back of the polyalloy shed and then the hospital bubble fab. The position gave me line of sight on the gate and the minimal security Carrera had left there. The same as last night. 5 strong guards, 2 suited, and 1 powered-up bug. Looked like Quok's hunched cross-legged stance in one suit. Well, she'd never been a big fan of the anatomizer sessions. The other I couldn't identify. Machine support. The mobile ultra-vibe cannon and a couple of other chunks of automated firepower, but all turned the wrong way now, watching the darkness beyond the gate. I breathed out once and started up the beach. They spotted me at 20 meters. I wasn't hiding. I waved the interface gun cheerily over my head and gave the malfunction gesture with my other hand. The ragged hole in my right palm ached. At 15 meters, they knew something was wrong. I saw Quok tense and used the only card I had left to play. I chinned the faceplate and waited 12 meters off for it to hinge up. Her face registered shock as she saw me, mingled pleasure, confusion, and concern. She unfolded and got to her feet.
"Lieutenant?"
I shot her first. A single shot in through the open faceplate. The detonating plasma core blew the helmet apart as I ran forward. Aching throatful of wolf loyalty, rubbed raw. The second suit was moving when I got to him. A single leap in the mob suit and a mid-air kick that slammed him back against the carapace of the bug. He bounced off, one hand reaching to slap his faceplate closed. I grabbed the arm, crushed it at the wrist, and fired down into his yelling mouth. Something hammered me in the chest, threw me on my back in the sand. I saw an unsuited figure stalking toward me, gun hand flung out. The interface gun dragged my arm up a handbreadth, and I shot his legs out from under him. Finally, a scream to compete with Suciati, and time running out. I chinned my faceplate closed and flexed my legs. The mob suit threw me to my feet again. A sunjet blast lashed the sand where I had been. I tracked around and snapped off a shot. The sunjet wielder spun about with the impact, and red, glinting fragments of spine exploded out of his back as the shell detonated. The last one tried to close with me, blocking my gun arm upward and stamping down at my knee. Against an unarmored man, it was a good move, but he hadn't been paying attention. The edge of his foot bounced off the mob suit, and he staggered. I twisted and snapped out a roundhouse kick with all the balanced force the suit would give me. It broke his back. Something banged off the front of the bug. I looked down the beach and saw figures spilling from the makeshift amphitheater, weapons leveling. I snapped a shot off in reflex, then got a grip on my meth-scrambled thought processes and straddled the bug. The systems awoke at a slap to the ignition pad, knights and data flow in the hooded and heavily armed instrument panels. I powered up, lifted a quarter turn about to face the advancing wedge, selected weaponry, and... howl, howl, howl! Some kind of snarling grin made it to my face as the launchers cut loose. Explosives aren't good for much in vacuum combat. No shock wave to speak of, and any blast energy you generate dissipates fast. Against suited personnel, conventional explosives are next to useless. And nuclear yield? Well, that really defeats the purpose of close-quarters combat. You really need a smarter kind of weapon. The smart shrapnel mother frames cut twin, swerving trails among the soldiers on the beach, locators tilting the flight path with microsecond precision to dump their cub shells into the air just where they would wreak the most organic damage. Behind a barely visible haze of thrust that my faceplate enhancer painted pale pink, each blast unleashed a hail of monomolecular shards sown with hundreds of larger, tooth-sized, razor-edge chunks that would bury themselves in organic matter and then fragment. It was the weapon that had ripped 391 platoon apart around me 2 months ago. Took Quack's eyes, Eddie Manhardo's limbs, and my shoulder. 2 months? Why does it feel like another lifetime? The wedge soldiers closest to each blast literally dissolved in the storm of metal fragments. Neurochem-aided vision showed it to me, let me watch them turn from men and women into shredded carcasses fountaining blood from 1,000 entry and exit wounds, and then into bursting clouds of shattered tissue. Those farther off just died in sudden pieces. The mother frame skipped joyously through them all, impacted on the banks of seats surrounding Suchiati, and blew. The whole structure lifted briefly into the air and was gone in flame. The light from the explosion splashed itself orange on the hull of the Anjin Chandra's Virtue, and debris rained down into the sand and water. The blast rolled out across the beach and rocked the bug on its grav field. There were, I discovered, tears starting in my eyes. I nudged the bug forward over the gore-splattered sand, kneeling upright and looking for survivors. In the quiet after the explosions, the grav drive made a ludicrously soft noise that felt like being stroked with feathers. The tetrameth glimmered at the edges of my vision and trembled in my tendons. Halfway down to the blast zone, I spotted a pair of injured wedgemen hidden between two of the bubble fabs. I drifted in their direction. One was too far gone to do anything other than cough up blood, but her companion heaved himself to a sitting position as the bug drew nearer. The shrapnel had, I saw, stripped off his face and left him blind. The arm nearest me was down to a shoulder stump and protruding bone fragments.
"What?"
he pleaded. The jacketed slug punched him flat. Beside them, the other soldier cursed me to some hell I hadn't heard of before, and then died strangling on her own blood. I hovered over her for a few moments, gun half-leveled, then tipped the bug about as something banged flatly down by the battle wagon. I scanned the shoreline beside Suchiati's impromptu funeral pyre and picked out motion at the water's edge. Another soldier, almost uninjured. He must have crawled under the structure of the battle wagon and escaped the worst of the blast. The gun in my hand was below the level of the bug screen. He saw only the pol-alloy suit and the wedge vehicle. He got up, shaking his head numbly. There was blood running out of his ears.
"Who?"
he kept saying.
"Who?"
He wandered distractedly into the shallows, looking around him at the devastation, then back at me. I chinned up my faceplate.
"Lieutenant Kovach?"
His voice boomed, overloud with a sudden deafness.
"Who did this?"
"We did," I told him, knowing he couldn't hear me. He watched my lips, uncomprehending. I raised the interface gun. The shot pinned him up against the hull for a moment, then blew him clear again as it exploded. He collapsed into the water and floated there, leaking thick clouds of blood. Movement from the Chandra. I whipped about on the bug and saw a Pol-Alloy-suited figure stumble down the entry ramp and collapse. A mob suit leaped over the bug screen, and I landed in the water, kept upright by the suit's gyros. A dozen strides took me to the crumpled form, and I saw the sunjet blast that had charred through the stomach at one side. The wound was massive. The faceplate hinged up, and Dupre lay gasping beneath it.
"Carrera!"
he managed hoarsely.
"Forward hatch!"
I was already moving, already knowing bone deep I was too late. The forward hatch was blown on emergency evac. It lay half buried in a crater of sand with the force of the explosive bolts that had thrown it there. Footprints beside it where someone had jumped the 3 meters from hull to beach. The prints led off in a sprinted line to the Pol-Alloy shed. "Fuck you, Isaac. Fuck you for a die-hard motherfucker." I burst through the door to the shed, brandishing the Kalashnikov. Nothing. Not a fucking thing. The locker room was as I'd left it. The female non-com's corpse, the scattering of equipment in low light. Beyond the hatch, the shower was still running. The reek of the Pol-Alloy drifted out to me. I ducked inside, checked corners. Nothing. Fuck. Well, it figures. I shut down the shower system absently. What did you expect, that he'd be easy to kill? I went back outside to find the others and tell them the good news. Dupre died while I was gone. When I got back to him, he'd given up breathing and was staring at the blue sky as if slightly bored with it. There was no blood. At close range, a sunjet cauterizes totally, and from the wound it looked as if Carrera had gotten him point blank. Vongsavath and Wardani had found him before me. They were kneeling in the sand a short distance away on either side of him. Vongsavath clutched a captured blaster in one hand, but you could tell her heart wasn't in it. She barely looked up as my shadow fell across it. I dropped a hand on her shoulder in passing and went to crouch in front of the archaeologue. "Tanya." She heard it in my voice.
"What now?"
"It's a lot easier to shut the gate than to open it, right?"
"Right."
She stopped and looked up at me, searching my face.
"There's a shutdown procedure that doesn't require encoding, yes. How did you know?"
I shrugged, inwardly wondering myself. Envoy intuition doesn't usually work this way. "Makes sense, I guess. Always harder to pick the locks than slam the door afterward." Her voice lowered.
"Yes."
"This shutdown. How long will it take?"
"I... fuck, Kovach, I don't know. A couple of hours? Why?"
"Carrera isn't dead." She coughed up a fractured laugh.
"What?"
"You see that big fucking hole in Luke?" The tetrameth thrummed in me like current, feeding a rising anger. "Carrera made it. Then he got out the forward escape hatch, painted himself in Pol-Alloy, and is by now on the other side of the fucking gate. That clear enough for you?"
"Then why don't you leave him there?"
"Because if I do..." I forced my own voice down a couple of notches, tried to get a grip on the meth surge. "If I do, he'll swim up while you're trying to close the gate, and he'll kill you. And the rest of us. In fact, depending on what hardware LaMonica left aboard the ship, he may be right back with a tactical nuclear warhead. Very shortly."
"Then why don't we just get the fuck out of here right now?"
asked Vongsavath. She gestured at the Anjin Chandra's virtue.
"In this thing, I can put us on the other side of the globe in a couple of minutes. Fuck it, I could probably get us out of this whole system in a couple of months."
I glanced across at Tanya Wardani and waited. It took a few moments, but finally she shook her head.
"No. We have to close the gate."
Vongsavath threw up her hands.
"What the fuck for? Who care?"
"Stow it, Amelie." I flexed the suit upright again. "Tell the truth. I don't think you could get through the wedge security blocks in much less than a day anyway. Even with my help. I'm afraid we're going to have to do this the hard way. And I will have a chance to kill the man who murdered Luke Dupre." I wasn't sure if that was the meth talking or just the memory of a shared bottle of whiskey in the deck of a trawler now blasted and sunk. It didn't seem to matter that much. Vongsavath sighed and heaved herself to her feet.
"You going on the bug?" she asked. "Or do you want an impeller frame?"
"We'll need both."
"Yeah?"
She looked suddenly interested.
"How come? Do you want me...
The bugs mount a nuclear howitzer. 20 kiloton yield. I'm going to fire that motherfucker across and see if we can't fry Carrera with it. Most likely we won't. He'll be backed off somewhere, probably expecting it. But it will chase him away for long enough to send the bug through. While that draws any long-range fire he can manage, I'll tumble in with the impeller rig. After that, I shrugged. It's a fair fight.
And I suppose I'm not...
Got it in one. How does it feel to be indispensable?
Around here?
She looked up and down the corpse-strewn beach.
It feels out of place.
Chapter 41.
You can't do this,
Wardani said quietly. I'd finished angling the nose of the bug upward toward the center of the gate space and turned to face her. The grav field murmured to itself. Tanya, we've seen this thing withstand weapons that... I searched for adequate words. That I, for one, don't understand. You really think a little tickle with a tactical nuke is going to cause any damage?
I don't mean that. I mean you. Look at you.
I looked down at the controls on the firing board. I'm good for a couple more days.
Yeah, in a hospital bed. Do you really think you stand a chance going up against Carrera, the state you're in? The only thing holding you up right now is that suit.
Rubbish. You're forgetting the tetrameth.
Yeah, a lethal dose from what I saw. How long can you stay on top of that?
Long enough. I skipped her look and stared past her down the beach. What the hell is keeping Bonksavath?
Kovach.
She waited until I looked at her.
Try the nuke. Leave it at that. I'll get the gate closed.
Tanya, why didn't you shoot me with the stunner? Silence. Tanya?
All right,
she said violently.
Piss your fucking life away out there. See if I care.
That wasn't what I asked you.
I...
She dropped her gaze.
I panicked.
That, Tanya, is bullshit. I've seen you do a lot of things in the last couple of months, but panic hasn't been any of them. I don't think you know the meaning of the word.
Oh, yeah? You think you know me that well?
Well enough. She snorted.
Fucking soldiers! Show me a soldier. I'll show you a fucked-in-the-head romantic. You know nothing about me, Kovach. You fucked me, and that in a virtuality. You think that gives you insight? You think that gives you the right to judge people?
People like Schneider, you mean? I shrugged. He would have sold us all out to Carrera, Tanya. You know that, don't you? He would have sat through Succiati and let it happen.
Oh, you're feeling proud of yourself, is that it?
She gestured down at the crater where Succiati had died, and the brightly reddened spillage of corpses and spread gore stretching up toward us.
Think you've achieved something here, do you?
You wanted me to die? Revenge for Schneider?
No!
It's not a problem, Tanya, I shrugged again. The only thing I can't work out is why I didn't die. I don't suppose you've got any comment on that. As the resident Martian expert, I mean.
I don't know. I panicked. Like I said, I got the stunner as soon as you dropped it. I put myself out.
Yeah, I know. Carrera said you were in neuroshock. He just wanted to know why I wasn't. That and why I woke up so fast.
Maybe,
she said, not looking at me.
You don't have whatever is inside the rest of us.
Oi, Kovach!
We both shifted to look down the beach again.
Kovach, look what I found.
It was Bonksavath, riding the other bug at crawling pace. In front of her stumbled a solitary figure. I narrowed my eyes and reeled in a closer look. I don't fucking believe it.
Who is it?
I rustled up a dry chuckle. Survivor type. Look. Lamont looked grim, but not noticeably worse than the last time we'd met. His ragged-clad frame was splattered with blood, but none of it seemed to be his. His eyes were clenched into slits, and his trembling seemed to have damped down. He recognized me, and his face lit up. He capered forward, then stopped and looked back at the bug that was herding him up the beach. Bonksavath snapped something at him, and he started forward again until he stood a couple of meters away from me, jigging peculiarly from one foot to another.
"Knew it!" he cackled out loud. "Knew you'd do it! Got files on you! I know you would! I heard you! Heard you, but I didn't say."
Found him in the armory crawl space,
said Bongsabath, bringing the bug to a halt and dismounting.
Sorry, took a while to scare him out.
Heard you, saw you,
said Lamont to himself, rubbing ferociously at the back of his neck.
God, files on you, Kovach. Knew you'd do it.
Did you? I said somberly.
Heard you, saw you, but I didn't say.
Yeah, well, that was your mistake. A good political officer always relays his suspicions to a higher authority. It's in the directives. I picked up the interface gun from the bug console and shot Lamont through the chest. It was an impatient shot, and it sheared through him too high to kill immediately. The shell exploded in the sand 5 meters behind him. He flopped on the ground, blood gouting from the entry wound. Then from somewhere he found the strength to get to his knees. He grinned up at me.
"Knew you'd do it,"
he said hoarsely, and keeled slowly over on his side. Blood soaked out of him and into the sand. "Did you get the impeller?" I asked Bongsabath. I sent Wardani and Bongsabath to wait behind the nearest rock bluff while I fired the nuke. They weren't shielded, and I didn't want to waste the time it would take to get them into Pall alloy. And even at a distance, even in the freezing vacuum on the other side of the gate, the nuclear shells the bug mounted would throw back enough hard radiation to cook an unshielded human very dead. Of course, previous experience suggested the gate would handle the proximity of dangerous radiation in much the same way it had dealt with the proximity of nanobes. It wouldn't permit it. But you could be wrong about these things, and anyway, there was no telling what a Martian would consider a tolerable dose. Then why are you sitting here, Tak? Suit'll soak it up. But it was a little more than that. Sitting astride the bug, sunjet flat across my thighs, interface pistol tucked into a belt pouch, face on to the bubble of starscape the gate had carved into the world before me, I could feel a long, dragging inertia of purpose setting in. It was a fatalism running deeper than the tetrameth, a conviction that there wasn't that much more to do, and whatever result was waiting out there in the cold would just have to do. Must be the dying, Tak. Bound to get you in the end. Even with the meth, at a cellular level, any sleeve is going to... Or maybe you're just scared of diving through there and finding yourself back on the Mid-70 all over again. Shall we just get on with it? The howitzer shell spat from the bug carapace slow enough to be visible, breached the gate space with a faint sucking sound, and trailed off into the starscape. Seconds later, the view was drenched white with the blast. My faceplate darkened automatically. I waited, seated on the bug until the light faded. If anything outside visual spectrum radiation made it back through, the contam alert on the suit helmet didn't think it worth mentioning. Nice to be right, huh? Not that it matters much now, anyway. I chinned up the faceplate and whistled. The second bug lifted from behind the rock bluff and plowed a short furrow through the sand. Bongsabath set it down with casual perfection, aligned with mine. Wardani climbed off from behind her with aching slowness. 2 hours, you said, Tanya. She ignored me. She hadn't spoken since I shot Lamont. Well, I checked the security tether on the sunjet one more time. Whatever you've got to do, start doing it now.
What if you're not back in time?
Objected Bongsabath. I grinned. Don't be stupid. If I can't waste Carrera and get back here in 2 hours, I'm not coming back. You know that. Then I knocked the faceplate shut and put the bug into drive. Through the gate. Look, easy as falling. My stomach climbed into my throat as the weightlessness swarmed aboard. Vertigo kicked in behind it. Here we fucking go again. Carrera made his play. Minute blotch of pink in the faceplate as a drive kicked in somewhere above me. Envoy reflex fielded at the moment it happened, and my hands yanked the bug about to face the attack. Weapon systems flickered. A pair of interceptor drones spat out of the launch pads. They looped in to avoid any direct defenses the approaching missile had, then darted across my field of vision from opposite sides and detonated. I thought one of them had begun to spin off course, tinseled out when they blew. Silent white light flared, and the faceplate blotted out my view. By then I was too busy to watch. I kicked back from the body of the bug, nailing down a sudden surge of terror as I let go of its solidity and fell upward into the dark. My left hand clawed after the impeller control arm. I froze it. Not yet. The bug tumbled away below me, drive still lit. I shut out thoughts of the infinite emptiness I was adrift in, focused instead on the dimly sensed mass of the ship above me. In the sparse light from the stars, the polyalloy combat suit and the impeller rack on my back would be next to invisible. No impeller thrust meant no trace on anything but the most sensitive of mass-sensing sets, and I was willing to bet that Carrera didn't have one of those at hand. As long as the impellers stayed dead, the only visible target out here was the bug's drive. I lay crouched upright in the weightless quiet, tugged the sunjet to me on its tether line, and cuddled the stock into my shoulder. Breathed. Tried not to wait too hard for Carrera's next move. Come on, you motherfucker. Uh-uh. You're expecting, Tuck. We will teach you not to expect anything. That way, you will be ready for it. Thanks, Virginia. Properly equipped, a vacuum commando doesn't have to do most of this shit. A whole rack of detection systems load into the helmet frames of a combat suit, coordinated by a nasty little personal battle computer that doesn't suffer from any of the freezing awe humans are prone to in hard space. You have to roll with it, but as with most warfare these days, the machine does most of the work. I hadn't had time to find and install the Wedge's battle tech, but I was tolerably sure Carrera hadn't either. That left him with whatever wedge-coated hardware LaMonaco's team had left aboard the ship, and possibly a sunjet of his own. And for a wedge commando, it goes against the grain to leave hardware lying around unwatched. There wouldn't be much. You hope. The rest was down to one-on-one at levels of crudity that stretched all the way back to orbital champions like Armstrong and Gagarin. And that, the Tetrameth Rush was telling me, had to work in my favor. I let the envoy senses slide out over my anxiety, over the pounding of the Tetrameth, and I stopped waiting for anything to happen. There. Pink flare off the darkened edge of the looming hull. I pivoted my weight as smoothly as the mob suit would allow, lined myself up on the launch point, and kicked the impellers up into overdrive. Somewhere below me, white light unfolded and doused the lower half of my vision. Carrera's missile homing in on the bug. I cut the impellers, fell silently upward toward the ship. Under the faceplate, I felt a grimace of satisfaction creep across my face. The impeller trace would have been lost in the blast from the exploding bug, and now Carrera had nothing again. He might be expecting something like this, but he couldn't see me, and by the time he could... Sunjet flame awoke on the hull. Scattered beam. I quailed for a moment inside my suit, then the grin stitched itself back as I saw. Carrera was firing wide. Too far back along an angle between the death of the bug and where I really was now. My fingers tightened around the sunjet. Not yet. Not... Another sunjet blast, no closer. I watched the beam light up and die, light up and die, getting my own weapon lined up for the next one. The range had to be less than a kilometer now. A few more seconds and a beam on minimal dispersal should punch right through the polyalloy Carrera was wearing, and whatever organic matter was also in the way. A lucky shot would take off his head or melt through heart or lungs. Less lucky would do damage he'd have to deal with, and while he was doing that, I'd get close. I could feel my lips peeling back from my teeth as I thought it. Space erupted in light around me. For a moment so brief it only registered at envoy speeds, I thought the crew of the ship had come back again, outraged at the nuclear blast so close to their funeral barge, and the irritating pinprick firefighting in its wake. Flare! You stupid fuck, he's lit you up. I snapped on the impellers and whirled away sideways. Sunjet fire chased me from a rampart on the hull over my head. On one spin, I managed to get off returning fire. 3 sputtering seconds, but Carrera's beam shut off. I fled for the roof, got some piece of hull architecture between me and Carrera's position, then reversed the impeller drive and braked to slow drift. Blood hammered in my temples. Did I get him? Proximity to the hull forced recoding of my surroundings. The alien sculpted architecture of the vessel overhead was suddenly the surface of a planetoid, and I was head down 5 meters over it. The flare burned steadily 100 meters out, casting twisted shadows past the chunk of hull architecture I was floating behind. Weird details scarred the surfaces around me. Curls and scrapings of structure-like scrawlings in bas-relief, glyphs on a monumental scale. Did I...
Nice evasion, Kovacs.
Carrera's voice spoke into my ear as if he were sitting in the helmet beside me.
Not bad for a non-swimmer.
I checked the heads-up displays. The suit radio was set for receive only. I nudged sideways in the helmet space, and the transmit symbol glowed on. A cautious body flex put me parallel to the hull. Meanwhile, keep him talking.
Who told you I was a non-swimmer?
Oh, yes, I was forgetting. That fiasco with Randall. But a couple of outings like that hardly make you a VACCOM veteran.
He was playing for avuncular amusement, but there wasn't much hiding the raw ugliness of the rage underneath it.
Which fact explains why it's going to be very easy for me to kill you. That is what I'm going to do, Kovacs. I'm going to smash in your faceplate and watch your face boil out.
Better get on with it, then.
I scanned the solidified bubbling of the hull in front of me, looking for a sniper vantage point. Because I don't plan to be here much longer.
Only came back for the view, huh? Or did you leave some hollow porn with sentimental value lying around the docking bay?
Just keeping you out of the way while Wardani closes the gate, that's all.
A short pause, in which I could hear him breathing. I shortened the tether line on the sunjet until it floated close beside my right arm, then touched the trim controls on the impeller arm and risked a half-second impulse. The straps tugged as the racked motors on my back lifted me delicately up and forward.
"What's the matter, Isaac? You sulking?"
He made a noise in his throat.
"You're a piece of shit, Kovacs. You've sold out your comrades like a tower dweller. Murdered them for credit."
"I thought that's what we were about, Isaac. Murder for credit."
"Don't give me your fucking quellisms, Kovacs. Not with 100 wedge personnel dead and blown apart back there. Not with the blood of Tony LaMonaco and Kwok Yun Ye on your hands. You are the murderer. They were soldiers."
A tiny stinging in my throat and eyes at the names. "Lock it down.
They slaughtered sort of easily for soldiers."
"Fuck you, Kovacs."
"Whatever."
I reached out for the approaching curve of the hull architecture, where a small bubble formed a rounded spur on one side of the main structure. Behind my outstretched arms, the rest of my body shifted into a dead-stop posture. A momentary sense of panic sweated through me at the sudden thought that the hull might be contact mined in some way. Oh well, can't think of everything. And then my gloved hands came to rest on the curving surface, and I stopped moving. The sunjet bumped gently off my shoulder. I risked a rapid glance through the gull-winged space where the two bubble forms intersected. Ducked back. Envoy recall built me a picture and mapped it against memory. It was the docking bay, centered at the bottom of the same 300-meter dimple, and set about with bubbled hillocks that were themselves distorted by other smaller swellings rising haphazardly from their flanks. LaMonaco's squad must have left a locator beacon, because there was no other way Carrera could have found the place this fast on a hull nearly 30 clicks across and 60 long. I looked at the suit receiver display again, but the only channel showing was the one Carrera's slightly hoarse breathing came through on. No big surprise. He would have killed the broadcast as soon as he got set up. No point in telegraphing his ambush point to anyone else.
"So where the fuck are you, Isaac? I can hear your breathing. I just need to see you so I can stop it."
I eased myself painstakingly back to a viewing position and started scanning the globular landscape below me a degree at a time. All I needed was a single careless move. Just one. From Isaac Carrera, decorated VACCOM commander, survivor of 500,000 vacuum combat engagements and victor in most. A careless move. "Sure, Doc. Coming right up."
"You know, I wonder, Kovacs..." His voice was calm again.
He'd cranked his anger back under control. Under the circumstances, the last thing I needed.
What kind of deal did Hand offer you?
Scan. Search. Keep him talking. More than you're paying me, Isaac.
I think you're forgetting our rather excellent health care coverage.
Nope. Just trying to avoid needing it again. Scan. Search.
Was it so bad fighting for the wedge? You were guaranteed re-sleeving at all times, and it's not as if a man of your training was ever likely to suffer real death.
Three of my team would have to disagree with you there, Isaac, if they weren't already really fucking dead, that is. A slight hesitation.
Your team?
I grimaced. Zhang Zhanping got turned into soup by an ultravibe blast. The nanobes took Hansen and Cruikshank.
Your team?
I heard what you fucking said the first time, Isaac.
Oh, I'm sorry. I merely wonder...
Training's got fucking nothing to do with it, and you know it. You could go sell that fucking song to Lapine. Machines and luck, that's what kills you or keeps you alive on Sanction 4. Scan. Search. Find that motherfucker. And calm down.
Sanction 4 and any other conflict, Carrera said quietly. You of all people should know that. It's the nature of the game. If you didn't want to play, you shouldn't have dealt yourself in. The Wedge isn't a conscript army.
Isaac, the whole fucking planet has been conscripted into this war. No one's got any choice anymore. You're going to be involved, you might as well have the big guns. That's a Quellism for you, in case you wondered. He grunted.
Sounds like common sense to me. Didn't that bitch ever say anything original?
There. My methed-out nerves jumped with it. Right there. The slim edge of something built by human technology. Stark, angular outline caught by flare light among the curves at the base of a bubble outcrop. One side of an impeller-set frame. I settled the sunjet into place and lined up on the target. Drawled response. She wasn't a philosopher, Isaac. She was a soldier.
She was a terrorist.
We quibble over terms. I triggered the sunjet. Fire lanced across the concave arena and splashed off the outline. Something exploded visibly off the hull in fragments. I felt a smile tug at the corners of my mouth. Breathing. It was the only thing that warned me. The papery whisper of breath at the bottom of the suit receiver. The suppressed sound of effort.
Fuck!
Something invisible shattered and shed light over my head. Something no more visible spanged off my faceplate, leaving a tiny glowing V of chipped glass. I felt other tiny impacts off my suit.
Grenade!
Instinct had me already spinning to the right. Later I realized why. It was the quickest route between Carrera's position and mine, working around the rim of hull architecture that ringed the docking bay. A single third of the circle, and Carrera had crept around it while he talked to me. Shed of the impellers that had decoyed me, and would in any case telltale his movement, he dragged and shoved himself from handhold to boot purchase point all the way around. He'd used anger to disguise the stress in his voice as he worked, held down his breathing elsewhere, and at some point he judged close enough, he'd lain still and waited for me to give myself away with a sunjet. And with the experience of decades in vacuum combat, he'd hit me with a one weapon that wouldn't show up. Exemplary, really. He came at me across 50 meters of space like a flying version of Cemetery on the beach, arms reaching. The sunjet sprouted recognizably from his right fist, a Phillips squeeze launcher from his left. Though there was no way to detect it, I knew the second electromag accelerated grenade was already in flight between us. I jammed the impellers to life and backflipped. The hull vanished from view, then hinged back in from the top as I spiraled away. The grenade, deflected by the wash from the impeller drives as I flipped, exploded and sowed space with shrapnel. I felt shards of the stuff bang through one leg and foot. Sudden, numbing impacts, and then traceries of pain through the flesh like biofilament slicing. My ears popped painfully as suit pressure dropped. The polalloy socked inward at a dozen other points, but it held. I tumbled up and over the bubble outcrop, a sprawling target in the flare light, hull and bearings spinning around me. The pain in my ears eased as the polalloy congealed across the damage. No time to look for Carrera. I trimmed the impeller thrust, then dived once more for the globular landscape stretching below me. Sunjet fire flashed around me. I hit the hull a glancing blow, used the impact to change trajectories, and saw another sunjet blast scythe past on the left. I caught a glimpse of Carrera as he adhered briefly to a rounded surface back up the slope of the dimple. I already knew the next move. From there, he'd push off with a single, well-controlled kick and ride the simple linear velocity down toward me, firing as he came. At some point, he'd get close enough to punch molten holes through the suit that the pol alloy could not congeal over. I bounced off another bubble. More idiot tumbling. More near-miss sunjet fire. I trimmed the impellers again, tried for a line that would take me into the shadow of the outcrop, and cut off the thrust. My hands groped after something to hold and caught on one of the bas-relief scroll effects I'd spotted earlier. I killed my motion and twisted around to look for Carrera. No sign. I was out of line of sight. I turned back and crept gratefully farther around the bubble outcrop. Another curl of bas-relief offered itself, and I reached down. Ah, shit. I was holding the wing of a Martian. Shock held me unstirring for a second. Time enough for me to think this was some kind of carving in the hull surface, time enough to know at some deep level that it wasn't. The Martian had died screaming. The wings were flung back, sunk into the hull surface for most of their width, protruding only at the curled extremities and where their muscled webbing rose up under the arched spine of the creature. The head was twisted in agony, beak gaping open, eyes glaring like comet-tailed orbs of washed jet. One clawed limb lifted talons above the hull surface. The whole corpse was sheathed in the material of the hull it had flailed against, drowning there. I shifted my gaze and looked out across the surface ahead of me, the scattered scrawl of raised detail, and knew finally what I was looking at. The hull around the docking bay dimple, all of it, the whole bubbling expanse, was a mass grave. A spider's web trap for thousands upon thousands of Martians who had all died entombed in whatever substances had run and foamed and burst here when what? The shape of the catastrophe was outside anything I could envisage. I could not imagine the weapons that would do this, the circumstances of this conflict between two civilizations as far ahead of humanity's scavenger-built little empire as we were from the gulls whose bodies had clogged the water around Somerville. I could not see how it could happen. I could only see the results. I could only see the dead. Nothing ever changes. 150 light-years from home, and the same shit just keeps going down. Gotta be some kind of universal fucking constant. A grenade bounced off another hull-downed Martian 10 meters away, careened up, and exploded. I rolled away from the blast. A brief pummeling over my back and one searing penetration under my shoulder. Pressure dropped like a knife through my eardrums. I screamed. Fuck this. I fired the impellers and burst out of the cover of the bubble outcrop, not knowing what I was going to do until I did it. Carrera's gliding figure showed up less than 50 meters off. I saw sunjet fire, turned on my back, and dived directly at the docking bay mouth. Carrera's voice trailed me, almost amused.
"Where do you think you're going, Kovach?"
Something exploded at my back, and the impeller thrust cut out. Scorching heat across my back. Carrera and his fucking VACCOM skills. But with the residual velocity and, well, maybe a little spirit realm luck cadged off the vengeful ghost of Hand. He shot you after all, Matt. You did curse the fucker. Just to grease the palm of whatever fate. I plowed through the atmosphere baffles of the docking bay at a slewed angle, found gravity beneath me, and battered into one of the stacked, fat snake-containing walls, bounced off with a sudden shock of weight from the grav field, and crashed to the deck, trailing wings of smoke and flame from the wrecked impeller frame. For a long moment I lay still in the cavernous quiet of the bay. Then, from somewhere, I heard a curious bubbling sound in my helmet. It took me several seconds to realize I was laughing. "Get up, Takashi." "Oh, come on. He can kill you just as dead in here, Tak. Get up." I reached up and tried to prop myself up. Wrong arm. The broken elbow joint bent soggily inside the mob suit. Pain ran up and down the abused muscles and tendons. I rolled away, gasping, and tried with the other arm. Better. The mob suit wheezed a little. Something definitely awry in the works here.